thank you for the awesomeness of your presence, Lord. We thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. And we thank you that you are here now in this place, dwelling within the hearts of your children, dwelling in the presence of the atmosphere. Within the atmosphere, your presence is just so thick. Lord, as we commit this time to you, we want to thank you. As your word is preached, we ask your anointing upon it. We ask the hearts of the people to be open to receive it, that your work in each life will be done, and that your name will receive all the glory. Father, you are an amazing God, and your plan is the only plan. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask your blessing now upon everyone here, and that you, Holy Spirit, will have your way within this service.
Right now,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Why don't we just take a few minutes to greet some of the new people here today. I see our sister Tumi is back from Indonesia after a six-month holiday. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anyway, we can't do that now. There's some new people here, but just a few minutes. Just take a few minutes. I'll give that to you. I just got two things. Also, this includes everybody. Choir for the Morning of Faith service in July. I believe it's July 23rd, 24th. I'm not positive on that date. But they're looking for people that want to join the choir for that service. And so they're going to be practicing here shortly. So if you can sign up as well. Your email at the back there, I'll get a sign-up sheet for you guys, and if you want to join, come in. You're more than welcome. The whole works can come if you want. Amen? Okay? Also, YC Alberta. This is a youth ministry, basically, from your teens to your mid-20s, whatever the case may be. And they're looking for volunteers as well. You can sign up for that, the older people, if you want to sign up. They'll probably do a check on you, though, first and all that stuff. But that's happening in May. And I just really sense, you know, I'd like to see my granddaughter go and some other young folks from here. It's going to cost money. What it costs, I have no idea yet. Probably just roughly around $100 or something like that. So how much? $200 per head. Oh, sorry about that. Okay. Hey? Just rich kids can go. That's not, no. Doug here's got so much money, he's going to support that. So if we could sponsor some of these guys, that'd be awesome. You know, I tell you, they have a supernatural encounter with Jesus Christ, and they're changed. Changed for the rest of their lives. Amen? And that can happen. And so why don't you do that for the Lord? Amen. Okay? Say, for that, May 22nd, I believe it is. There's got a big poster outside here. So we'll let you know more about that later on here. So, but anyway, Stan. Yeah. Amen.
Thanks, Alan. It is a good day, right? Sun's shining. It's springtime. We have lots to thank God for. Amen. And I hope you came here today with hearts that are just ready to praise God. And we've already been doing that. There's so much to thank God for. He is a living God. I don't serve a dead God. I serve a living God. I have a Savior. I don't, know which one you want to use.
This, did you shut this one off? There we go. We're going to figure this out. Okay. Where was I? Something about him being alone. Yeah.
Try one more time.
Check one. Write the check. Write the check. Okay. Try that again. So it's about gratitude. It's about worship. We come to God saying, what do I have to offer you? What have you done for me? And then we think all the things that God has done. He's a living God. He's a powerful God. He's been answering our prayers. He holds us even when we go through the tough shadows and the tough valleys. He still holds us, and he keeps us together, and he promotes the unity among us. So we're going to pray. Let's start with, we've been doing lots of stuff already, but I just feel it's such a need to pray. And then I got a good friend who's going to share some stuff here pretty quick here. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are present in this place because you are present in us. We're your people. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that this is the time of the year when we remember your sacrifice. We remember that you gave your life for us, that you hung on the cross, and that you rose from the dead. God, thank you that you're a living Savior and that you live in our hearts. You live in this body, and all you want to do is just have fellowship with us. You want us to just rely on you, and you have so much in store for us, God. And so for anyone who's here today who wonders whether you're real, just show yourself. You say that you're a God of revelation, that if we ask, we're going to receive. So we're asking that today, right now, that you will receive yourself, that you will show yourself, that we'll know that you are genuine, that you are real by the way that you move in this place today. And by the way, your word, we thank you for your word and the truth that your word, it's just truth. Thank you, Lord. So I pray for Amar as he comes forward here and shares a few things in a moment. And thank you, Lord, for your just the blessings of this day and for your goodness. And all the people said, amen. Amen. A couple weeks ago, we had a board meeting. And one of the things that we decided in our board meeting is that we are going to try to do whatever we can to bring Amr's family. They're right now in Syria. I'm going to ask you guys to come on up. Nazar and Amr, why don't you come on up a minute? We're going to try to bring them as refugees and sponsor them as a church. So I think that's good news. And Amr's been, this is a friend of mine, and I've known him for a long time, and I know he's a man of God, and this is his interpreter, but he's also a man of God and a friend. So, you know, I could go on and talk, but that's not what we want to hear today. We want to hear your story. We want to hear what God's done in your life. But I just want to sort of, I guess, preface this by saying, here's the exciting news. We are believing this. And I'm believing that Amr, his wife, and your four children, you have two daughters or three?
Three.
Three daughters and one son, that they're going to be here. That we're going to sponsor them as a church family. We're going to find a place for them to live. We're going to get favor with the government when we bring the forms, when we fill out all the forms, that there's going to be a way for these people who are living in a very awful situation that they're able to be a part of our church family and that we can bless them. We're going to pray about that. So, my friend, tell us what God, who is God and who is he to you? Yeah. We need two of those, I guess, eh? Do we have the other mic too or not? Yeah, that's good. Thanks.
أنا من طائفة تعلق في بيوتنا صورة لأسرة صورة لامرأة تحمل طفل.
First of all, I'm from a Muslim background, and I was raised in a house that, since I was a child, I was raised, and I see all the time there is a big poster for a woman holding a child.
ولدينا مكتبة صغيرة في حجمها كبيرة في محتوياتها.
We have a big library at home. Big library of books.
قرأت كتاب للمهاتما غاندي.
I read a book for Gandhi.
توالت الأحداث ببلد أنهكته الحروب. توالت الأحداث لأعمل في مكان استطعت أن أحافظ على أرواح آلاف من الأبرياء بما فيهم من جاء لتحرير بلدنا.
I have the privilege while going through a lot of war. First of all, Amr and myself are from Iraq. And you know, Iraq has went through a lot of wars. The last war was we call it the liberation war, liberation from dictatorship, 2003. So Amr is saying that he has the privilege to work in a place that he can protect a lot of lives of Iraqis and even from the people who came to liberate the country.
ليمنحوني كتاب شكر كتب فيه كن أو لا تكون فحقا إنك رجل.
The American forces that he was working with helped them. They gave him a thank you letter.
تتوالى الأحداث فيقتل 17 من أقربائي المقربين.
Things start to go crazy back home, and I have 17 of my relatives have been killed during these events.
لأخرج مع عائلتي من البلد تاركاً كل شيء ورائي.
So I took my small family and fled Iraq.
2005.
إلى سوريا. For I headed to Syria.
تتوالى الأحداث أترك عائلتي وأرجع في عام 2006 لسبب ما.
In 2006, while I was in Syria with my family, I have to go back to Iraq.
وأكمل مسيرتي في العمل.
And work again.
خليت عائلتك في سوريا؟
نعم.
But I left my family in Syria.
وتتوالى الأحداث وأرجع إلى عائلتي.
And then events continues and I go back to my family, join my family back in Syria.
لأجل زوجتي تعمل مسؤولة الرعاية الاجتماعية والدعم النفسي في الأمم المتحدة.
I found my wife is start to work with the United Nations that are responsible for the refugee camps and all this stuff.
ووكل إليها القيام بفعاليات دعم برعاية كنيسة الصليب المقدس وإبراهيم الخليل وجولات ترفيهية لدير صيدنايا وكنيسة القس خريستو فورس ودير القديس البطريكة مرتقلة البطريكية.
Okay, I'm going to sum all these churches. His wife was responsible for taking care of the social events with the United Nations for the refugees to take him, and this this care was sponsored by the so many Syrian churches that he mentioned.
لأتعرف على صورة تريزا. زوجتي عرفتني على صورة تريزا. تعمل بالكنيسة إبراهيم الخليل.
Okay, so his wife already has connected with a certain person called Sor Teresa. She worked with Ibrahim al-Khalil Church.
لتهدينه كتيب صغير الكتاب المقدس لأقرأ آيات من الكتاب كتيب وليس كتاب.
So that person, Sor Teresa, have gave him a gift, which is the Bible.
لم يكن في مكتبتنا إنجيل.
Back home, when I mentioned about the library, we didn't have a Bible because we are a Muslim family.
Yeah, قرأت آيات قليلة من الكتاب المقدس.
So I read a few verses of the Bible.
الكتاب المقدس واضح لا يحتاج إلى التمعن فيه كثيرا.
The Bible verses are so clear. We don't need to go so deep in it to feel it.
تقول أنا هو خبز الحياة. من يقبل لي فلا يجوع ومن يؤمن بي فلا يعطش أبدا.
Says I am the bread of the life and I am the living water. Whoever drinks from me will never be thirsty again.
شكرا لله الذي يقودنا في موكب نصرته.
Thanks for God who lead us in the victory march. Yeah.
الرب نوري وخلاصي ممن أخاف.
Okay, I have to try. I never memorized the verses in English, but I'm trying to translate them. God is my light and my saving. So from whom I fear.
لتكثر لكم الرحمة والسلام والمحبة وهذا الذي أثر فيه الله محبة.
Okay, the most important thing that affected me is God is love.
اسلكوا كأولاد نور.
Behave like the light children.
لم أتعرف على المرأة والصبي إلا ما عندما كبرت. من هؤلاء؟
So I didn't realize who was in that big poster in our home, the lady with the child, until I grew up.
أي إننا لا نفرق. أي إننا لا نفرق. وتذكرت غاندي في قوله: لا أعرف خطيئة أعظم من خطيئة تبريء باسم الله. لا أعرف خطيئة أعظم من خطيئة تبريء باسم الله.
Okay, so when I grow up and look at that lady, and I already recognize who that lady was with the child, I remember what Gandhi said, that I don't know any sin greater than a persecution in the name of the religion.
أنا لا أريد أن أمس طائفة أو جهة معينة.
I don't want to blame any religion or denomination.
ابدا.
Never.
ولكني حزين على افراد عائلتي الذين قتلوا.
But I'm sad for my family members that is being killed for such a reason.
يقتلون باسم الله.
They are being killed in the name of God.
وقرأت الكتاب المقدس.
Then I read the Bible.
آيات قليلة وبسيطة ومختصرة.
Simple verses.
وجدت فيها سلام ومحبة.
I found peace and love.
وأنا أبحث عن السلام والمحبة.
And I'm looking for peace and love.
وجدتها كلها في الكتاب المقدس.
I found it all in the Holy Bible.
وفي شخص المسيح.
And in Jesus Christ person.
فآمنت ولا يحتاج للإيمان أن أتحرى وأن أدرس كثيرا.
And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I didn't feel that I need to investigate more and more. That was all that what I was looking for.
مباشرة.
Immediately.
وعندما قدمت إلى كندا.
And when I came to Canada.
لدي مجموعة من طلاب Red Deer College.
I have like a group of Red Deer College students.
حدود العشرين.
About 20 people.
كنا فقط نرنم في يوم السبت.
We were only gathered to sing on Saturdays.
ولدي مجموعة أخرى في يوم الخميس.
And we have another group on Thursday.
متقاعدين.
They are retired people.
فقط ندرس الكتاب المقدس.
Just for we just meet for Bible study.
أنا أرنم وأدرس الكتاب المقدس وفي نفس الوقت أذهب إلى الكنيسة.
So I sing, study the Bible, and go to the church.
ويأتي أحد الأشخاص وهو مسيحي.
And one day, one of the persons came to me, and he is Christian.
ليقول لي أنت ليس مسيحي حق.
Well, okay, I know what he said. Okay, let me say one thing here. When we say Christian back home, we distinguish between a Christian, like Christian in religion, and another religion, is religions. Mm-hmm. One major religion and few minorities.
وأنا أسأل.
Sorry. But here, when we see Christian, we discriminate or we distinguish between a believer and other people. Religious. So when he's saying another Christian came, another Christian in name,
yes,
not in belief.
وأنا أسأل الجميع وأقول صباحكم يسوع.
And I say to everyone, Lord Jesus be shine on you.
هل يستطيع أحد أن يعرفني من هو المسيح الحقيقي؟
Can anyone tell me who is real Jesus Christ?
هل المسيح أتى لفئة معينة أو طائفة معينة أو عرق أو لون؟
Did Jesus came for a certain denomination, for a certain race, certain color?
No.
أنا آمنت وفخور.
I believed in Jesus and I'm so proud.
Yeah. فهل أستطيع أن أصلي ونصلي معا؟
Can I pray for you?
Say that again.
Can I pray for you?
Yes.
إلهنا المبارك.
Our glory God.
بارك اسمك.
May blessed be your name.
من أجل هذا الجمع.
For this gathering.
ومن أجل هذه الكنيسة.
For this church.
ومن أجل باستر ستان.
For Pastor Stan.
ومن أجل وجودنا في كندا.
And for our presence in Canada.
نشكرك إلهي.
We thank you, Lord.
على كل ما أعطيتنا.
For all what you gave us.
من نعمة السلام.
for the grace of peace.
في هذا البلد الذي نعيش فيه.
In this country that we live in.
وفي داخل أنفسنا.
And inside ourselves.
أبانا تعلم ما في شهوة أنفسنا.
Our Father, you know what we are aiming for, what we are looking for.
منحنا السلام.
Give us peace.
منحنا القوة.
Give us strength.
منحنا العطف.
Give us passion.
ومنحنا التسامح.
Give us forgiveness.
يا سيد أنت تعلم.
Lord, you know.
أن عائلتي يحيطها الخطر.
That my family is in danger.
وتعلم أكثر من دولة تقام فيها حروب.
And you know that so many countries in that area has wars going on.
فامنح هذه الدول السلام.
Give these countries peace, your peace.
امنح في داخلهم المحبة.
Give them your love.
Yes.
والتسامح.
And forgiveness.
يا سيد أنت تعلم ما في شهوة أنفسنا.
Lord, you know what's inside ourselves.
اطعم جميع المحتاجين والفقراء في العالم.
Give all the needy people, all the hungry people, all over the world.
فأنت تستطيع بكسرة خبز.
Lord, you can make with a small piece of bread.
أن تطعم شعوب.
That you can feed nations.
Yes.
وبقطرة ماء.
And a small drop of water.
أن تسقي عطشا.
And you can you can fill all the thirsty people.
ونحن عطشا يا سيد.
And we are thirsty, Lord.
Yes. باسم يسوع المسيح نصلي.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
I love you.
Tell us the names of your children and your wife. Can you tell us their names?
قلنا اسماء عائلته.
زوجتي ألفا كامل كاظم.
His wife is Ulfa Kazim Kamil.
وابنتي سما.
His oldest daughter Sama. Sama it means sky actually.
وتقوى وأبرار.
And the other two daughters are Taqwa and Abrar.
وابني طالب.
And his son طالب.
والاختبار بيسوع المسيح. أذكر أخي ويذكر كانت ابنتي في السادس إعدادي.
This is just one event I want to mention that my daughter Sama.
Sama.
The oldest daughter Sama. She was in her grade six. Sadis, did I?
سادس إعدادي.
Oh, 12th grade.
وكنت أتمنى أن تنجح فقط.
And I was praying that she just, I want her to pass the exams.
وأصلي من أجلها.
I was praying for her.
ويصلي أخي من أجل ذلك.
And I was praying with him for her.
ولاختباري مع يسوع المسيح.
And I have to say that for Jesus Christ.
ركعت على ركبتي أمام الصليب. كان لي صليب في البيت.
I went down on my knees.
وطلبت.
And I asked.
وببساطة.
And very simple.
أسلمك ابنتي يا رب.
I said, I put my daughter in your hands.
لم أكن أتوقع أن تنجح.
I didn't even was thinking that she will pass, but I was praying.
حصلت على معدل 85.
She got 85%.
لتقبل في أعلى الجامعات جامعة دمشق.
And she is now studying in Damascus University.
درس فيها بعض العظماء.
And Damascus University is known that so many famous people have studied in that.
وتقبل في العلوم السياسية.
And she is studying political science.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
فرع العلاقات الدولية.
The international relations sector.
Good.
والأستاذ يبلغها أن المقعد الذي تجلسين فيه هو مقعد درس فيه موش ديان.
دمشق.
Yes.
And the professor was telling her that the seat that you are sitting in. Moshe Dayan, the one of the Israelis or Jews leaders, was studying in that place.
وبعض الأشخاص المهمين لا أريد أن أذكر أسمائهم.
And other important people also.
Okay.
أشكر الرب.
I thank the Lord.
God bless you. Okay, so our prayers and what we're going to be endeavoring and working in the next year is to find a way to bring Amr's wife and his three daughters and his son. They all want to come, right? They're all going to come here, and we're going to be a part of this. So we want to just, if you'll join us in prayer, I'm going to ask Don, who's the chairman of our board. As a board, we've agreed to this. We thought this is a really good thing, that God's leading us in this way. And Don, and maybe I'll say a few words too. Would you pray? Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you have blessed Amir and that you have spoke to him. You have met with him. You have met with him, and you're drawing him and his family to you constantly. God, you are constantly working in his life and in his family's life, and we thank you for that, God, for the way that you move. You are a loving, forgiving God, and I thank you, God, that you have blessed Amir and that you have blessed his family and that you have led them to repentance, God, that you have come and met with them. Thank you, God. God, I thank you for the way that you have come and met with us. God, unite us with Amir and his family. Bring them here, God. God, open the road, open the ways that they would come and be united again as a family with Amir here in Canada, God. Yeah. Bring them in, God. Bring them here together. You have blessed them. You know them. You care for them. And you have shown your faithfulness to them already. Continue, God. God, we're begging you, God, keep working in their lives now in great ways and bring them together, God. Bring them together as a family and that they would be blessed by you and that we could bless them and they would bless us. And, God, that your name would be glorified in all of this, God, that your name would be glorified, that Jesus Christ would be lifted high. And that many others, that Amir and Nazir know that they would, other people that they know, God, would be blessed because of your working in Amir's life and because of the way that you work in his family's life, God, that there would be many, many other people that would come to know you and that they would give their trust and they would give their life to you. They would bow before you and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. God, thank you for over and over and over, God, thank you for the way you have blessed Amir and his family. Continue, God. And I thank you. I know that you will.
Yeah.
God, we know that you will. We know that you hear us.
We know
that you see us.
Yeah,
you
make a way, God.
You know it. God, we know you. We know you're faithful. And we rejoice and we say thank you, God, because we know you are a faithful God. Mm. And you will bless them. We trust you, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Yeah, yes, sir. Well, that's fun. And I think, Nazar, you had the hard job, so you did very well. This business of interpreting is easy to do. I get this bad connection. And Barb Caldo are going to be the two people who are going to be part of that. We need to do all this paperwork, but we're committed to this. I want you to know that. You have a beautiful family. I can't wait for the day, and I believe the day is going to come. They're going to be sitting here.
Amen.
Yeah? Amen. Thank you, God. And you know what I love so much, and I know this guy, and we speak to each other. We don't need an interpreter. Most of the time I understand what you're saying. In fact, just a couple things. You know, I don't know if you caught that, but he had 17 of his family members, many of his cousins, who were killed during the Saddam Hussein, right? It was during his reign. And you actually, if I understand correctly, you actually worked in his government for a while. Is that correct? Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of words just for yeah. But yeah. That's always the danger, right? Just going on and on and yeah. But, and it's just, what I really love, like, to get to the point here, but it's just, he read the Word. Did you get that part of his story? He read the Word. He read the Bible. He said, there was a Bible. I started to read it, and suddenly it made sense to me. Suddenly I came to understand who this real God is. And I know that you've told me before, too, and one time you spoke with Crystal about how this other God that you thought was God for many, many years of your life, you realize that this is not God. This is not love. That this can't be true. He's not in control. Who's in control is this God, the God who gave us scriptures and who reveals himself. That's a good reminder to us. If you want to get to know God better, here's what you do. You start reading the Bible. Read it, believe it, follow it. This is God's instruction. Amen? Maybe Darcy, would you help with that little curtain thing? I know it's kind of crazy, but I'm going to make you do it anyways. We're going to get into the Word just because of that. I'm going to be preaching a series of sermons as we come towards Easter, we come towards the cross, on the tearing of the curtain veil. I know this seems like Sunday school now, but I just wanted something visual. I wanted you to see it. I wanted you to see this curtain veil. Is that going to work? And we're going to spend a few weeks looking at what the meaning of this is. What did it mean? What does it mean that when Jesus died, the veil of the curtain was torn in two? And what you might not know is that the veil didn't look like that at all. This is just so you got something in your head. I want you to leave here today going, okay, that was kind of crazy, but I saw this red thing and it represents something. Back in the time when Jesus died, the veil of the curtain, it would have been purple, it would have been violet, and it was red, purple, and violet. It was woven together, and it was about 3 to 4 inches. It was a hand's width thick. So we're not talking about a tablecloth here. We're talking about a table or a curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, and it was thick. Not only that, but it was huge. And I'm just going to read verse 50, the actual part of the story where Jesus dies. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks split. And the tomb broke open, and the dead in Christ And after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and they appeared to many. But that is an amazing event. It really is, you know. I can't even hardly imagine being there. But that's exactly what happened. Jesus died, and this huge temple curtain was torn from the top, it says, to the bottom. Right in the middle of all the people who were there, and the temple curtain was torn from top to bottom. The temple curtain was always something that kept God away from the people. I guess you could understand this too before I can even get into this. Just bear with me. I'm just getting into the flow here. It's going to be a bit. But the temple curtain was always what protected the people of Israel from the Holy of Holies. So on the other side of the temple curtain was the Holy of Holies. The temple was actually divided into three parts. There was the outer court. That's sort of where the animals were butchered. And where there was a basin of water where they would wash up. It was a symbol of their sins being taken away. So if you were in the outer court, it was kind of like a butcher yard. And then there was the inner court where it was all about praise. It was about praise and worship. And there was a candlesticks, and there was a few other themes there, other things that were important, which we'll get into another time. And then there was this big curtain in the temple. Again, 60 feet by 30 feet and 3 to 4 inches thick. And the reason why the curtain was there was because on the other side of the curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. I'm hoping that this little thing here helps you to understand or visualize it a little better. On the other side of the curtain, if you took a peek, you'd see that there's the Ark of the Covenant, and that is where God was. For hundreds of years, God literally dwelt in the Holy of Holies. The Shekinah glory of God in the Old Testament was behind the curtain. And only one time a year, and only the high priest could one time a year go through the curtain and offer a one-time sacrifice for all the people. But he had to do it quickly, because throughout the history of the Old Testament, sometimes a priest would do this flippantly, or there would be sin on it, and he'd be killed. Because going through the curtain was kind of a scary thing. You're dealing with the most holy God, and the absolute essential glory of God is right through there. And the average person, the average Joe like you or me, we could never do this. We could never go through that curtain. Only the most holy priest, the high priest, only the high priest could do that, right? And sometimes you're right. It's not in the Bible, what you're telling me, but there's a history, there's a story in Jewish literature that high priest, he wouldn't even go in to the Holy of Holies unless he was tied by a rope. So that if he was struck by God, they could at least, and he's supposed to have had bells on too, apparently, so you could hear him. Is he still tingling? Is he still hear him? If not, we better start pulling on the rope and get him out of there, right? So that's a little bit of a context. Now, I want to just read one more thing from Hebrews chapter 10. Listen to these words. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm waiting. Hebrews 10, verse 15. I know I told you a different one. You won't get the whole thing on the screen here, but if you have your Bibles, Hebrews 10, 15, and listen to this description. The Holy Spirit also testifies to this about this, saying, first he says this, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." And then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Did you hear that? Where these have been forgiven, where the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus has happened, there is no need for any other sacrifices, he's saying. There's no need for any other blood to be poured out. And then he says this, "Therefore, brothers," and he's talking to us, "therefore, sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Amen? And what he, you know what he's saying is, he's saying that the curtain is Jesus' body. That's the first thing I want to just kind of bring to your mind. He says, through the curtain, we can come, we can enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, and it's open for us. This new and living way has been opened for us through Jesus Christ, through his body. His body is, it is the curtain. And that when Jesus died on the cross, and again, we're going to be spending a few weeks getting, you know, using this and learning from this and preparing our hearts for this great event of Jesus' death, his resurrection. But when Jesus died on the cross, when he hung there, when he gave his life, and when he let go of his spirit, or he released his spirit and he died, Jesus' heart broke. His heart was torn in two. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says that his body is the curtain. That Jesus is the sacrifice once and for all. Amen? Jesus is the sacrifice once and for all. And what we believe and what the truth of God's word teaches us is that because of that one sacrifice, we can come to the Father through Jesus. We have access. Do you believe that? I have access to God because of what Jesus did in that event, hanging on the cross. When Jesus hung on the cross, he died, and the curtain of the temple was just torn in two. And that was, you know, I think a lot of times we don't get that. We go, okay, that was cool. But it was more than just cool. This was astounding to the people who were of the Jewish faith, to the priests, to the high priests. When this happened, it was like the most startling, most surprising thing they could ever imagine. Who can believe that the temple curtain will be torn in two? And besides, this is really scary now, because now we can see what's behind the curtain. And we know what's behind the curtain. This is a very holy God. We're likely all to be struck dead. That's what they thought. But the truth is, what we learn in the New Testament and what we celebrate about Jesus is that because he gave his life, and because his body is the curtain, we have access to the Father now, right? And that, you know what this really was? This is from God's perspective. When God, and remember, he tore the curtain from top to bottom. And remember, we're talking 30, 40 feet high. Only God could do that. This was a curtain that weighed hundreds, thousands of pounds. 300 priests had to work together to wash it. When it had to be washed once a year, it took 300 priests. So you get this picture in your head of the size of this curtain and what it was. It was ripped not from the bottom to the top, which maybe a man could do. It was ripped from the top to the bottom, because this is God saying to you and to me, saying, I want you to have access to me. I want to know you. I don't want it like it was before. I have something completely new for you. Something that's so different than anything in the Old Testament that you've ever heard before. Something that your fathers and your forefathers could never have known, like I can tell you and I can show you now. Because there's going to be a new and there's going to be a living way now. A new and a living way that you're going to be able to have a personal relationship with me. And this is my calling card. Here's what this is. When God tore the curtain from top to bottom, it was like God saying, here is the invitation. Here is the invitation. I am your God. I created you. I created the heavens and the earth. I made all that is, and I, like you said, I love you. And I'm going to show you the amazing depth of my love. I'm going to show you how much I love you. I love you so much that I sent my son, Jesus, so that you and I could have a personal relationship. Remember that for hundreds, even thousands of years before this, the only relationship that people really ever had with God was through their priest. The priest had to do the sacrifices. Every day, every week, every month, they'd have to come with a dove or with a lamb or a bull, and they'd have to offer that sacrifice. And the only way we had any access to God was through an intermediary, or through a priest or someone else who stood in between us. But when God rip the temple curtain in two. What he's really saying is, here is the invitation, and now I'm going to have a personal relationship with you, and there's going to be nobody who stands in the way. Nobody's going to stand in the way of you and me, because I love you so much. I want you just to know me. You don't need a priest anymore. Did you hear that? You don't need a priest anymore. You don't need a pastor. I know that's one way to work yourself out of a job, but I'm okay with that. You don't need a pastor. You don't need someone to pray for you. I know sometimes it's great to have people pray for us. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is you have direct access. You have absolute direct access to the Father because of what Jesus did when he died. Amen. You can clap. That's good. And that's not because we designed this. We didn't come up with this great idea of, hey, let's tear the curtain temple. Let's tear the veil in two. This is God's design. It's God who said that we need to do this. He says, I want to know you, and I want to know just you. I don't want anything in between us. I do not want a curtain. I do not want a veil, and I don't want any priest between me and Lenny. Because I just want her to know my heart. And not only that, but I am going to give you my Holy Spirit. And I'm going to live in you. And I'm going to show you exactly who I am and the glory of God. So you see, this is about an invitation. And it's about permission, I guess would be another word I would use. When Jesus died and when he gave up his life and when that thick curtain was torn in two, what really was being said here is you have permission. You finally have permission to come to God. And you don't need to stand like they all did. They all sat there and they were scared to death and their hearts must have been beating, you know, 100, 200 beats a minute. But God said, you don't need to be afraid anymore. When I tear the curtain, it means no more fear. You don't need to be afraid. Whatever it is you're afraid of, you don't need to be afraid of it anymore. And if you're afraid of God, if you've been afraid of me, if you've thought I've been too holy to have a relationship with you or that I'm just going to smite you, I'm not going to do that because I love you. I think that is so important. I'm so glad for what we read here in Matthew, that this is what God did so that we can know that we're invited to come into the presence of God and to know that we have permission. You have permission, and if you don't hear anything else today, hear this. You have permission to come before God boldly and with confidence. Hebrews writes about that, right? You can just come on. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to cower. You don't need to get a big shield in front of you. You don't need to hope he's not going to whack you one. He's not going to whack you one because he says, just come to me. I want a relationship with you. I want you to know me. I don't want anything to hinder that walk with you. I want to put my arms around you. I want my Holy Spirit to reside in you. I want you to abide in me. These are all things that Jesus taught us and that we read in the scriptures. You do not need to be afraid. That's good news because up until the time when Jesus died, the kind of a relationship that people had with their Jehovah God was a fear-based relationship. They were just afraid of him. They didn't know what he was going to do. They thought he was uncontrollable. They thought he was mean. And there are some things that you read in the Old Testament that almost sound like it. And we'll get into that sometime. But one thing we need to understand is that God, see, even God operates in a different way now. He does because of Jesus Christ. There is a new covenant. There is a new covenant. There's a new plan. There is blood that has been poured out. And the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, that has been poured out once and for all. It never needs to be poured out again. Isn't that good news? Come on, you can clap about that. Yeah. I'm thankful that we don't all need to keep a little lamb or a bull calf in our garage so that we can bring it to the, you know, to the priest every week. We don't need to do that. I mean, if you have one, good, but you don't need to sacrifice it, right? Because Jesus Christ is the once and for all sacrifice. I said it before, I'm going to say it one more time. His blood is the only blood that will ever need to get poured out. Amen? Yeah, but do you understand? Do you understand how radically different this event made things? I don't think there is an event in all of history that changed things anything more than the tearing of the temple curtain. It absolutely changed everything from an old covenant to a new covenant. From a place where, yeah, no longer about religion. It's about a relationship. You guys want to just preach or you want me to do it? Okay. These guys are like those two guys on, is it Muppets or whatever it is when they're sitting up? I love the eagerness. That's good. Right? It's no longer coming from a point of view of judgment. Right, Don? We're not coming from a point of judgment anymore. We're coming from a point of mercy. A merciful and a loving God who says, come to me. You hear me? Come to me. All you who are weary and heavy burden, come to me. You don't need to be afraid anymore. I don't know what you're afraid of. There's a lot of fear in this room. Fear of failure. Fear of the guy who's collecting from the collection agency. Fear of the police. Fear of falling back into that addiction. Fear of what people think of us. I don't know what it is. But I do want to tell you this today, that you don't need to be afraid. And you certainly do not need to fear God. He is a God of a new covenant. Because Jesus died, even God gets to operate in a new way. It's all God's plan. God the Son died. God poured out his blood for us. And it's now all about no condemnation and one sacrifice. And that if you repent, and if you believe, you're saved. And that's really good news, don't you think? One of the things that it says in Hebrews 10 that we read is that this way of Jesus, the curtain that was his body, this way of Jesus is, and these are the two words that are being used in Hebrews. I think you can put it on the screen if you want, Chad. That we now, have you got it there? A new and a living way. And I want to just end, we're going to get into this some more. If you've got lots of questions about the whole thing, it's okay. Come next week. Honestly, come. Come the week after that and bring your friends, because we're going to learn more about this blood of Jesus next week we're going to talk about what's on the other side of the curtain. I'm not going to tell you that today. We're going to find out what's on the other side of the curtain. But what he's saying to us today is that this way of Jesus is a new and a living way. It's a new and a living way. The way of Jesus means that I'm brand new. Every single day, I'm brand new. And I am alive. It's a new and a living way. Which also means, it kind of goes without saying, but if this way of Jesus is a new and a living way, the old way and the old covenant was an old and dead way. Right? The way it used to be is an old and dead way. The way it is because of Jesus is a new and a living way. In the Greek language, that word new means a fresh sacrifice. It's only used one time in the New Testament. There's a new way for us. It means there's a fresh sacrifice. It's like the word new means a recent death. Every time we come to Jesus, it's like there's a recent death. That sacrifice of Jesus remains fresh. You get that? It remains fresh. And the word new, the living, is a living that continues on and on. It's the living that Jesus talked about in John when he said it's like a spring of living water. So it doesn't just live once. It wells up from inside of us, this life of Christ. It wells up inside of us. And it just pours out and it bubbles and it's full of joy, it's full of peace, it's full of forgiveness. And that's the new and the living way. And so I'm going to ask you the question today. Are you new and are you living? Are you new and living? And the answer to that question should be yes. And I think that for a lot of us, we go, yeah, yeah, I'm new and I'm living. But I'm not sure that we're always living it. I'm not sure we're always showing it. I mean, this event of what happened when Jesus died is so momentous that we should be filled with joy. We should really be alive. If we're looking like we're dead, then we really are not living in a new and a living way, right? We're looking like we're not really filled with the Spirit of God. And It stems from the gratitude that needs to flow from our hearts
for what Jesus has done. I am no longer bound to an old, dead way. I now live according to what Jesus has provided for me, and that is a new and a living way. Amen? And so, it's important sometimes to just take our pulse and say, okay, how am I alive? Do I look like I'm alive, or do I look like I'm pretty grumpy, grouchy, complaining, offended? Take my pulse here. When we're not very healthy, we're told that sometimes your pulse will be 150. If your pulse is going 150, you're alive, but not very long. And we're also told that if you're a professional athlete, you know, you're standing or you're sitting, whatever it is, the heartbeat, you know, if you're at 50 or 60, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So I want you today to take your pulse. Take your pulse. Because I want to tell you something else that you might say, well, I'm not at 50 or 60, but if you're at 50 or 60, you might go, I'm doing pretty good. But that doesn't, you know, it doesn't remain true. It's true when you go, I'm 60, which is a lot better than 160. Amen to that. But if it's 6, it's not good, right? So just getting to really low isn't good at all because, you know, you're going to just be dead pretty soon. We need to have a healthy heartbeat. And what God's word is saying to us today is that you have every reason to be alive. You need to live with a freshness in your life. And sometimes we need a little kick because we fall into some of those doldrums and we forget exactly what Jesus has done for us. I told the story to, we had a leadership group, I think maybe it was when the men came over, when the girls were at the retreat. But let me just tell it one more time kind of quickly. I have a friend, and we were roommates in college, and we hunted together, and we did some bow hunting, and he told me this story. I wasn't at this particular day, this time when he was hunting, but he was out hunting, and he's in Iowa, where my wife is from, and he's her cousin, and we're best buddies, and he was hunting in the cornfields, and as he was walking through the cornfield, he saw a dead deer laying there, and it was really snowing, just snowing, snowing all day, all morning long, and there was a dead deer laying there, and man, there's a dead deer. That's too bad. Like, if only that would have been alive, right? And he walked, and it's really quiet, of course, because it was snowing, and he walked and just gave a little kick, and the deer just jumped up and just booted out of there. And he said, I never dreamed that the thing was alive. And I can kind of imagine, right? I can imagine doing that, walking along, and you go, oh. Bam, the thing goes. Sometimes, I'm not speaking for you, but sometimes for me, I need a little kick. I need to just be reminded that I can spring to life. I need to be reminded that I'm not dead. The letter kills, Paul says, but the Spirit gives life. Right? The letter kills. The law kills. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Right? Thank you, Jesus. There is life in the Spirit. We ought to live that life. We ought, if we're looking dead, we maybe are. We should be looking alive. We should be excited about what Christ has done. We should be thanking him every day because he redeems my life from the pit every single day. And because he tore the temple curtain in two so that I could have access to the Father. I can actually come right to Jesus, right through Jesus to the Father and have a relationship with my Father God. And I'm going to just want to end on this last note. I'm going to need a chair here. I want you to see this too. I think here's where we get stuck sometime. We know there's a temple. We know there's a Holy of Holies. We know that God is good. And then we kind of park ourselves. Again, this is just sort of how I see the church sometimes. Maybe how I see my life sometimes. Maybe how I see you sometimes. But what we do sometimes is, you know, we're so excited. This is a great news story. This is the gospel. This is about hope. And then here's what we do. We sit in front of the torn curtain. And we go, okay, God, when are you going to come out? Like, you know, you tore the curtain temple in two. That's very cool. I'm going to wait and see. You know, when are you coming out? When are you going to do something, God? I've been praying for you to do something for a long time, and now I'm pretty excited because now I see that there's a way for you to come out of that curtain and get out of the Holy of Holies. So I'm just going to sit here, and I'm going to wait. And we wait for God. We say, okay. And sometimes we see a little bit of movement and activity going on the other side, but you can't really make out what's going on. But we pray and say, God, when are you going to come here, get on this side and start healing people? When are you going to start saving people? When are you going to start answering my prayers? When are you going to get your hands out of your pockets and do something? I'm waiting for you to do something. I'm waiting, God. And we sit in this chair, and we pray for revival, and we talk to each other, and we say, boy, one of these days, God's going to show up. I don't know when, but I'm pretty sure he will. One of these days, God's going to show up. One of these days, he's going to come out. I don't know why he's taking so long, but I'm going to wait here until he gets out. And then I'm telling you, something great's going to happen. And what I want you to hear today is that this temple curtain that was torn from top to bottom. Now hear me today. It was not so that God would come out. It was so that you would go through it. Amen? We're saying, God, why don't you come out? Why don't you come through the curtain? And God's going, oh, my child, why don't you come through the curtain? But God, why don't you do something? Oh, my child, why don't you do something? I've given you my spirit. I've given you everything you need to do what needs to be done. God, when are you going to show up? My child, when are you going to get off that chair? When are you going to show up? And that's the first teaching we need to understand about this curtain. The curtain is for us to enter into. I'm not going to be able to get into it now, but words like now we can enter, doesn't say now he can get out. It says now we can enter. Now we can come to God in boldness, right? It means it's up to us to step through and to see what's on the other side. That can be scary. We're going to talk about that. What's on the other side? Yep. But I promise you this. He gives you the strength and the power to do exactly that. And here's how we're going to end the service today. The last few Sundays, we've been just ministering to each other. Sometimes someone has a prophetic word for someone, or maybe you just got to encourage someone, or maybe you've been thinking about someone who's got little kids and you want to just tell them, hey, you're doing a good job. It's not easy, but I want you to know that we care about you. We're going to spend a little time here. We got about 15 minutes. We're going to spend a little time here. And I'm going to ask you this. Don't leave. Like, you're going to miss the best part. Don't run off, you know. Wendy's will wait. Just spend a little time here, and if you need to, just sit and remember what God's done for you. But I also encourage you I'm going to ask Chad, just play a song. You can start anytime. It's time to, you know what we're doing? And I know this is uncomfortable. If you think you're uncomfortable, you try holding the mic and getting people to do this. It's really uncomfortable. We're not good at this. We just want to sit. Like, what's this about getting off our chairs? But if we don't get off our chairs, then we sort of defeat the whole purpose of the whole message. So you got to get off your chairs today. And you need to encourage or pray for someone or say to someone, you know, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have said that to you. I repent of that. There can be some repenting happening today. There can be some empathizing. You say, you know, I know you're going through a hard time. I want you to know I'm going to commit myself to pray for you. This is today how we step through the curtain. And it's a comfort zone that we don't like exploring. But I'm going to encourage you to do that. Some of you, you know, you're only here for the first time. I think there's like 6 or 7 people here for the first time. I say praise God about that. And I'm sorry if you think we're kooks. But I'm not sorry for being a kook. Because I don't want to sit in that chair anymore. I want to go through where God has made a way. And I want to love and be loved. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to just listen to how your Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit leads you. Just, if you listen, There might be someone here you don't know at all. You've never met this person, but God's just saying, I want you to go and just tell him. Tell her it's going to be okay. Tell her that I am with her. God, we are not so boldly, but trying to step through the curtain. Thank you, Jesus, that your sacrifice is once and for all. We want to step through that curtain right now by being obedient and just find a way to build someone up or to encourage, or maybe a word of the prophetic, word of knowledge, something. We just ask you, Jesus, have your way. Amen.
you're doing in me, Lord. And I'm thankful, Lord. What you're doing in my heart. You're changing me, changing me. And you're patient, Lord, and you're kind to me. Though I'm failing you sometimes, your love never has failed me.
Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Jesus, I come to you, for I labor and am heavy laden and overburdened, and you cause me to rest. You will ease and relieve and refresh my soul.
Oh,
check, 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 check. Just keep praying. If you got to go, you got to go, but we're just going to sing one or two songs as we worship God.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Sing it again.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
He breathes his life.
He breathes his life. He breathes his life. He breathes his life. He's so good to me.
I love him so. Sing it out.
I love him so. Hallelujah. I love him so. Hallelujah. I love him so. He's so good to me.
He rose again.
He rose again. He rose again. He rose again. He's so good to me.
He lives in me.
He lives in me.
Alive. Let's stand up. Put your hands together.
Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, my Jesus is alive.
Sing it out.
Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive.
Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah.
My Jesus is alive. Forevermore, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive.
I will enter.
A requirement.
You can't do it like this. You can't go, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Got to do it like William. I want to see the white of your teeth.
He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
I will enter.
I will enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his church with praise. We'll say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me.
Let me see your teeth.
He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice. rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. One more time. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. There's the river. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes a lane for walk and the blind to see. Opens rooms, doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and bring to me that life abundant. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundant.
Amen. Okay, I want to hear you. Say amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Remember that Jesus has made a way. Whatever it is you need a way for, Jesus has made a way. May the grace and the mercy and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.